Hello and welcome to United Way Cares on KDNK, Carbondale Community Access Radio, Glenwood Springs, Carbondale, the Roaring Fork Valley, and beyond. My name is Tracy Gurley Tomaszewski, and I am the Executive Director for United Way Battlement to the Bells. United Way Battlement to the Bells mission is to improve lives by mobilizing the caring power of communities throughout the Roaring Fork, Crystal, and Colorado River Valleys, from Battlement Mesa to Aspen, and to advance the common good for all, focusing on education, financial well-being, and health. We work to support local nonprofits through funding, and now, with the United Way Battlement to the Bells AmeriCorps Vista Project. To learn more, please call 970-625-8189. You can also visit UnitedWayBB.org. Today, we have Jennifer Weary, the Executive Director from Alpine Legal Services, and their AmeriCorps Vista, Caleb Cavall, here to join me. Welcome. Are you both there?
Hello.
Caleb, did
we
you make
here.
It?
Yep. Thank
Wonderful.
You. Yeah. Hi.
It's great to hear from both of you. It's been so long since I've actually seen you.
Been
it
too
has
long.
Been a while.
So, Caleb, I want to start with you. Can you tell me a little bit more about being an AmeriCorps Vista with Alpine Legal Services?
Yeah. So, being an AmeriCorps Vista, your kind of role as opposed to the other branch of AmeriCorps is indirect service. So instead of, you know, interacting with clients or other people one-on-one, we kind of work in the background doing things that maybe help expand the services of our site. Things like volunteer recruitment and management, you know, helping with community outreach, doing social media stuff, helping expand resources, really whatever we can do. And, yeah, that's kind of been my focus at Alpine, where I've got a chance to work with a lot of volunteers we've had for both our Ask a Lawyer hotline and our mediation hotline. That's been a cool experience, and there's just been a ton of other things I've been up to as well.
That's amazing. So you've been an AmeriCorps Vista now for 6 months. And your term ends in March. What are you hoping to do next?
I've kind of recently, you know, gotten the mindset of thinking about what's next. These 6 months have really flown by, and I've been so kind of still feeling like I'm new and figuring this out, so I haven't thought too much about the future. But... I'm working on it. I do like doing, you know, working with nonprofit stuff. I think that's a really nice. It's the kind of work that you feel, you know, proud to be doing at the end of the day. And when you might be, you know, struggling a little bit or lacking motivation, it's pretty easy to just take a moment and think about what the work you're doing is actually helping with and get you back in it. So it's a good feel. Other than that, you know, I think I might want to stay in this area.
Yeah.
My business services up.
So it's interesting because you are our first AmeriCorps Vista that started under the stay-at-home order. You started
yep.
on March 16th, and I believe March 17th, the statewide stay-at-home order went into effect. So you had an interesting segue into being an AmeriCorps Vista, and you've just been such a trooper about all of it, and we're so, so happy that you're here. Jennifer, can you tell me a little bit about having an AmeriCorps Vista?
I could talk all day about what Caleb has meant to us. I mean, you just said he arrived on March 16th, so... I mean, I always say that his arrival really makes a strong case for angels because I don't know, I'm not overstating it when I say I don't know what we would have done without him. Our website We added a COVID-19 resource page. I think it's one of the best in the area. And it's because of Caleb. All day long, we were sending him updates and links and posts, and he just handled it all day with updating the website and social media posting. It was amazing. And that's nothing to say about having to pivot. I mean, when he arrived, that was the first week we went from in-person services to remote services. So we had to pivot from our Ask a Lawyer. So every Wednesday evening from 5 to 7, we have a free Ask a Lawyer event. And that's free, you know, 15-minute consultations with volunteer attorneys. We went from 8 libraries. We would do that and alternate libraries once a week. We went from having that in person at the libraries from Parachute to Aspen to having a telephone hotline. So Caleb had, you know, he researched the hotline, he tested the hotline, he got people signed up for the hotline, he made sure that it worked. We had some hiccups in the beginning, but it was we completely overhauled that program to do that safely through an app. And he does it every week, and he's the reason mm-hmm. we're able to offer that service to our community, without a doubt. And same with the mediation hotline, setting it up, getting volunteers signed up, getting them acclimated. I mean, it's I can't imagine what we would do without him. So I am very eager to make sure that we have more AmeriCorps Avista volunteers in the future, because we will be very, very sad to see Caleb go.
Absolutely. On both counts, from the United Way perspective and also from Alpine Legal, we've really enjoyed having Caleb on our team. I got to know Caleb because of the stay-at-home order via the Great Outdoors and organizing some hikes together, and then also doing some Zoom calls with the Vista volunteers in the area. And it's just been really rewarding to get to know you. So thank you, Caleb.
I appreciate those kind words. It means a lot.
It's been a lot of hard work, and it's been a lot of chaos, and it's been a lot of uncertainty. And there have been times when he's done so much without a whole lot of direction, because we've just kind of had to make this up as we go along,
right?
Transitioning. So often, every week, it's just something new. So, and also he monitors the dockets for how many every week, you know, how many evictions, just so we have a pulse on what's going on with housing.
Right.
As we develop a brand new housing program, you know, for us to have the pulse on what's happening in eviction court, he updates us every week on that. And I can't even think of all the things he does, honestly. It's just incredible. And I remember you telling me, Tracy, that, you know, the reason this is offered for our community is capacity building. And that's how, I mean, I just keep thinking, we would not have had the capacity to do all that we've been able to do to respond to our community had it not been for Caleb. I really mean that. And so it's been invaluable to us, because, sure, we would have probably been able to find someone, but to write that grant and to hire that person and go through all of that is not easy. And for volunteers, there's no guarantee that you're going to have them for a year like we do with the AmeriCorps program. So it's just been, I can't say what a gift it's been to our entire community.
I am so pleased to hear that. And I'm so proud of you, Caleb. Thank you so much for everything that you're doing. Speaking of eviction court, there's a lot going on right now with Alpine Legal Services and the information that you're putting into the community in terms of rental assistance, legal help. Can you guys give me a little bit more about what's going on with your COVID response right now?
Well, so like I said, we are still offering our Ask a Lawyer hotline every week from 5 to 7 p.m. So all of this information that I'm about to say, by the way, is on our website, alpinelegalservices.org. And if you go to our COVID resource page, there's a heck of a lot of information there. And then if you go to our regular programming page, you'll find out about our services as well. So Ask a Lawyer has been a part of our response, offering that every week via hotline. And our website itself is a lot of information. And then we started a couple of new things. We realized that housing is really the greatest I think the Center for Disease Control coming out and putting a moratorium on evictions because people can't pay rent, I think, is an indication of what a public health crisis, how housing is tied to public health, and how it really is. Housing is a public health issue, because if you don't have housing, you have to be exposed to certain situations that aren't healthy for anyone right now. So stabilizing housing became our biggest priority, or one of our biggest priorities. So we developed a housing program. So we now have an attorney and a new law school graduate who's waiting for bar results, who are working on fielding housing calls related to housing, to our main number. And then for those opportunities where landlords and tenants are able to come together, which we really need that now more than ever, we really need people coming together and thinking of creative solutions to navigate what lies ahead through this recovery. We're really hoping if landlords and tenants can come together and work out an agreement. We have resources that we like that we are able to connect people to for housing, rental assistance, and we also offer free mediation. We have mediators who are highly trained and experienced and willing to help navigate an agreement between a landlord and a tenant, who are willing to come together and start talking about what they can do to not just stabilize rent that, not just pay up rent that's owed, but to stabilize for the next, at least the next 3 months. So we're really trying to make sure that there's not a very steep cliff for people to fall off of once that once January 1st comes and once the moratorium is lifted. We want to make sure that as many people as possible in our community are stabilized. So know your rights. We have information we're giving out to the public and wanting to make sure that everyone's aware of their rights as a landlord and tenant, and trying to help people where we can, you know, come together and stay healthy and stay housed.
Absolutely. I know that's a huge concern within our entire valley right now. It just seems like anyone you talk to, whether they're on the landlord side of things or on the tenant side of things, feels a lot of the stress right now and the burden of trying to figure out how to make things happen. So it's awesome to hear you guys are helping to mediate that in our community. So as you have dealt with COVID, what other crises or issues have you seen? I know, Jennifer, you're part of the HSC committee, which is the Human Services Commission. You're our board chair, co-chair this year. And what else are you hearing?
Where do I begin?
I'm sorry.
No, that's a big question. And I'm so sorry I'm talking so much. So next question for Caleb, but I mean, I would say that, again, you know, more than ever, the ways we have dealt with conflict in the past are not going to serve us going forward. So getting tied up in court, you know, suing people, we've got to find any common ground and start from there. Mm-hmm. So we think about, you know, a visual of like a Venn diagram, and there may be a lot that we don't agree on right now, just, you know, locally and in our broader communities. But there's something there. I always say, if you give me enough of an overlap to get a foot in there, you know, that's something we can stand on.
Mm-hmm.
So when I daily try to tell people find common ground, it's because, like you said, the stress is being felt by everyone, not just tenants, not just students, not just isolated seniors, but landlords, property managers, employers who are having to look at layoffs as we head into the holidays. These are very difficult times. And what is going to help us really navigate through this time is our ability to find any common ground and mm-hmm. make peace with one another. And that sounds maybe oversimplistic, but it is it is really the root of what's going to keep us stable. So, you know, everything ties to that. If we can find ways to make agreements and work with one another and set aside our differences, we're going to stay stable, and we might stay, we might come up with creative solutions, and we might just reduce that cortisol, right? Reduce mm-hmm. that stress and make better decisions, in all, you know, aspects of our lives. So it's that ripple effect of those acts of kindness, are going to make a huge difference for our community right now. So I'm sorry, that's not really a legal answer.
No, but, it doesn't need to be.
Definitely, that's what we're seeing. We're seeing a lot of stress, and we're seeing all the things that come from that stress, health mm-hmm. effects of that, and financial and learning, and we're really calling on everyone to just see the other person as a person who's doing the best they can, and let's try to keep that in mind.
One of my very first jobs, we had 7 pillars of behavior, or I guess they were just our pillars of how we were to approach one another. And the first one was to assume the best intentions. And I think that applies here. You have to really look at one another and assume that the other person is trying their best. It may not be what you would have thought was the best, but they're doing the best that they can. And like you said, seeing their humanity, I think, is really important right now. Thank you.
Absolutely.
For entertaining me. I'm sorry that I put you on the spot.
That's okay.
Caleb, I want to talk with you a little bit more, because I'm looking at the website and it really is just so comprehensive. And I just really appreciate how it's so easy to navigate. Are you maintaining the entire website? Tell me more about what it is you're doing here.
Yeah. So I do work to keep the website updated a lot, make sure everything that, you know, I can't take all the credit for it, because a lot of what's been posted up there is stuff I get from the other people at Alpine, and even some of the formatting is from suggestions from Lauren, one of the other lawyers at Alpine. So I've, you know, when I get the links to, you know, whatever resource or PDFs, make sure they end up on the website, and make sure to, you know, go through the website every now and then and check to make sure either the stuff we posted a while ago isn't outdated, or if I can find a better, you know, more current, more helpful resource. And that's just, you know, a really easy way to make sure that Alpine, you know, has our specific legal help role, and the website with all the resources helps us kind of branch out more with the general COVID needs and really hopefully help guide people to whatever resources they need.
Definitely. Well, it's a great resource. I want to remind folks, it is alpinelegalservices.org. And just to get back to the basics a little bit, you all, tell me what it is you generally do, and your service area, if you will.
So, before COVID, we had our main focus were, you know, it was primarily three programs. So, providing free civil legal services for victims of crime and domestic abuse, and providing free civil legal services for residents from Parachute to Aspen who are 60 years of age or older. So free senior legal services. And those two services, so crime victim services and senior legal services, are provided regardless of income. So we really realize that victims of crime and older adults, there are special circumstances where paying for an attorney is in a lot of ways a denial of access to justice. So we are funded to provide those services for free. And then also, of course, people in our community, our mission, when you think about, our mission of ensuring access to justice by providing quality legal services that protect and advance fundamental legal rights, you think, okay, every person that comes to us, we ask ourselves, and all of our staff on the same page about this, is, do we need to be involved in this to ensure access to justice? And so that's sort of the standard. There are conflicts of interest in our small community, but in those situations, we try to put people in touch with someone who will provide them with the information they need to uphold their fundamental legal rights. So that's our mission, and primarily older adults, victims of crime, and children, of those who are victims of domestic abuse. We want to ensure that kids are protected. And just when you think about situations like guardianships or conservatorships, you have older adults or sometimes disabled adults or children who are not going to be able to take care of themselves long-term and provide for their long-term needs. And so we want to be sure that there's a guardian or a conservator that's there to protect that person's rights. So really, I guess you could sum it up, and we are here to provide legal services for those who are most vulnerable in our community. So that's been our focus historically, and now with COVID, what we've realized is that all things sort of lead to housing, and so we've developed a housing program, thanks mostly to Aspen Community Foundation. Their COVID response fund has funded our ability to offer housing, legal right. services for people who are facing housing insecurity. So that's been huge. The community response has been really incredible. The partnerships, the relationships have all just been incredibly inspiring. So there's been some definite good things that have come from all of this. But that's mainly the focus of our work.
I feel like this whole pandemic has really exposed the wires, if you will, of how we create the playbook for the next big issue in our community. And it's really opened eyes to where there are holes in the systems and also how we can collaborate better and more efficiently together, which I think is so valuable. I want to thank you both for joining me today. What you're doing for our community, what you're doing for those in need right now is just so powerful. And I really appreciate both of you taking the time to speak with me today. And I want to remind everyone, their website for Alpine Legal Services is alpinelegalservices.org. Thank you again.
Thank you, Tracy.
Yeah, thank you so much.